Today on The Journey.
And it's time, guys, we stepped out on the stage and we let the gift of the Holy Spirit flow through us so the audience of the world can see there's something different with that person.
The Spirit of power is walking in your footsteps and living in your soul. He wants to show His might through you, but He waits for recognition and surrender. Today, Ron Moore helps us with the former. The latter will be up to you, and the power to live victoriously will hang on your decision. Also, to begin preparing your heart for the celebration of Christ's victorious resurrection, we have a special devotional offer. It's called Relent, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with the message, Relent, Conceding Control, on The Journey.
Okay, if I say the name Susan Boyle, does that ring a bell with anyone? Susan's a 47-year-old Scottish woman, unglamorous, unfashionable, and unknown. Someone says she's a Disney movie waiting to happen. Here's what we know about Susan Boyle. We know she was the youngest of 9 children, and she grew up with a learning disability. She was bullied as a child, a never-been-kissed recluse who stayed at home taking care of her dying mother. But there's one more thing we know. Susan Boyle was a possessor of a powerful gift and the possessor of a powerful dream that led her to a stage before an audience that viewed her unworthy until she opened her mouth and began to sing. So here's why I share that story. I am convinced that believers, many believers, way too many believers, live their life just like Susan Boyle did, possessor of this powerful gift. The Spirit of the living God lives within each of us. There's this part of us that desires so much to live for Christ and do what He wants us to do. And there's this other part of us that tugs and pulls. And sometimes it feels like it forces us in the other direction. On one hand, we want to please God. On the other hand, we want to please ourselves. We still have this great gift within us, and we still have this dream to do great things for God. But we get bullied by the sinful nature. And after a while, we say, you know what? Forget it. I guess a life of real impact was meant for others, not me. And I'll be happy just to stay off stage. And I'll be happy just to live kind of a second shelf Christian life. I'll let others live for Christ. But I can't do it. I believe it is time for us to step on the stage and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Let's learn today how we can do that. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're involved in this series called Relent. More than a title, Relent is a word that means to give in. It means to give up. It means to change. And we may have to change in order to step on the stage. It means to yield. It means to concede. We've been using this word, surrender. There's this battle going on. And we learn from Paul in chapter 7, verse 21, kind of what this battle is about. Look at verse 21, chapter 7. Paul said, so I find this law at work, this principle at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my innermost being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Skip down to verse 25, last part of it. So then Paul says, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So here's this battle going on. If you're a Christian, the battle is going on within your heart. And we have the strength and power within us to win the battle. We're not going to have an undefeated life. For certain, there will be times we give in to the sinful nature. We will feel overpowered, but we never have to be overpowered because the Spirit of God lives in us. And for us to take some steps forward and not so many back, there are three things we have to know, but these are things we also have to do. I believe way too many Christians have a huge head and a shriveled heart. I'm going to tell you, some of you need not another Bible study. You need to get out and demonstrate with your heart what it means to stand on the stage and live a life pleasing to God. Truth is great, and we need that. But we also need action. So here are three things we need to know and act upon. Number one, my position. Two, my possession. Three, my partnership. So here's the first one. You ready? Position. Our position in Christ. Quick review. Our position means this. There are three things we got to know. First of all, I am not guilty. I have been declared not guilty. Chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Not guilty. My sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for. I never can be charged for them again. I am not guilty. I am under no condemnation, and that will never change. That's part of my position. Secondly, I am free from the dominion of sin. I do not have to give in to the sin nature any longer. Paul says in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I am free to live a life that pleases God. And third part of our position is this. I am who I am by the work of God. It is not about my baptism. Baptism does not save you, whether it's infant or adult. It is not about my confirmation. It is not about my first communion. It is not about the works I do or don't do. I am who I am by the work of God. Paul says in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 8 that God sent His Son in the likeness of human flesh, in the likeness of sinful man, to be sin for us, to be our sin offering. It is Christ who does the work. And I got to tell you, our position never changes. Think about that. I can do nothing to make God love me more. I can do nothing to make God love me less. I have a position in Christ. And that should give me confidence, shouldn't it? So I can come out on the stage of life, whether it's marriage or work or school or singlehood or whatever, I can come out on the stage and I can stand there with confidence knowing that my position is set and I can live in that confidence of who I am in Christ. Secondly, I not only have to understand my position, I have to understand my possession. As a believer, I am the possessor of the great and powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within me. There was a time when I did not have the Spirit living in me, when I did not know Christ. But there came a time when I trusted in Jesus Christ alone as my personal Savior. I realized there was nothing I could do to have a relationship with God. I couldn't be good enough, and I had to humble myself. I had to relent in order to say, I can't save myself, but God sent His Son down a cross for my sins. I trust in Jesus Christ alone. And when that happens, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Look at verse 9, chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Check that out. The distinguishing possession of the Christian life is the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you belong to Christ. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you don't belong to Christ. And if you are constantly losing the battle and never winning, if you feel powerless in your life all the time, then you better go back and make sure that you truly trusted in Christ. Because if you trusted in Christ, the Spirit of God lives within you and you belong to Him. If the Spirit is not in you, you don't belong to Christ. So if Susan Boyle had walked out on that stage in Britain and she had blown it, the judges would have said, what? You have no great gift living in you. And if we walk out on the stage of life and constantly blow it, we got to go back and say, does the Spirit of God live in me or not? And so while I know there's a battle going on, and we're going to talk about the battle, I don't want to make any assumptions. You can profess to be a believer and not be. If you're a believer, you're going to know, maybe it'll be weak. But you're at least going to know the Spirit of God lives in you. Think about that. The Spirit of God lives within us. It's an amazing truth, isn't it? Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He asks a rhetorical question for the sake of emphasis. And he says, don't you know that you yourselves, read this with me, you ready? Don't you know that you yourselves are the God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Amazing truth. Don't you know that? Paul tells the Corinthians who are struggling with sin, don't you know that you don't have to continue to struggle with sin? The Spirit of God lives within you. You are the temple of God. Your life can change. And it should. There's a lot of legends around the Taj Mahal about how it came to be built. One is the favorite wife of Shah Jahan died. He was devastated and he resolved to relieve his grief by building this great tomb, the Taj Mahal. And the story goes that her coffin was like placed in the center of this piece of property, and then construction started taking place around her tomb in great honor to her. As the weeks turned into months, the Shah's grief was eclipsed by the passion of the project. He was consumed by the construction and no longer mourned her absence. And then the story goes that one day he was walking around the construction site from one side to the other, and his leg bumped against a box in the middle of the floor, and he kind of brushed off the dust from his leg, and he told the workers, get that box out of here. What's it doing in the middle of the floor? You're ahead of me, aren't you? Well, he didn't realize that he had ordered the disposal of his wife's coffin, now forgotten beneath layers of dust. The very one the temple was built to honor was forgotten. Now, the Spirit of God is not dead within us. He is alive. And we can never expel Him from our life. He will never leave us. But if we neglect or ignore the power of the gift and the possession we have, we will become more consumed with the projects of our life instead of the person of Christ. We will have more passion for the stuff of life and the projects of life rather than the person of Christ. And we will not totally forget that the Spirit of God lives within us, but we will forget to constantly remember that God's Holy Spirit is there in our lives to give us all the power we need for every situation, every day, every second of every day, if we will just realize and call on Him to give us the strength. Look at verse 8. Those controlled by the sinful nature of life cannot please God. On the other hand, look at verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Paul reminds us over and over and over again in this passage, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, that's who lives within us. And that's the Spirit who will give us everything we need for every situation of life. And one day He will raise our mortal bodies from the dead, and we will live in a glorious body forever with Him. Until then, we know our position and we know our possession. And then there's one other thing, and this is key. I have to understand and participate in my partnership with the Spirit. So as a Christian, here I stand, forgiven, made righteous, Spirit of Christ lives in me, and now I begin a partnership with the Holy Spirit of God. I participate with Him in this journey, in this battle called the spiritual life. Look at verse 12. Read this with me. Ready? Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Now, we believers, you and I, we have an obligation, a responsibility. We have a duty. We now participate with the Spirit. And if we participate with the Spirit, if we work with the Spirit, if we allow the Spirit to control our lives, notice what happens. Look at verse 13. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That little phrase, put to death, that describes the partnership we have. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. In Greek, it's one word, thanaton. In the Old King James Version, they use a great word to translate thanaton, mortify. I love that word. mortify. It means to destroy the strength and vitality of something. It's not a one-time act. It means to do it over and over and over and over and over again in my life. I need to destroy the strength and the vitality of my sinful nature, the misdeeds of the body. Think of it like this. We have muscles in our body, and if we exercise our muscles, they get stronger. And when we exercise, they grow. And then we feed it and it grows and it wants more food and more nourishment and more exercise and you give it more and it grows. What happens on the other side? If we don't exercise a muscle, it atrophies. The muscle doesn't die, but it loses its strength. You mortified the muscle. So it is with the sinful nature. When I give in to the sinful nature, when I relent, when I surrender to the sinful nature, it just gets stronger and more demanding. It wants more. It's never satisfying. But if I mortify it, that is, if I put it to death, if I choose not to exercise it, it atrophies. Never dies. It's always there. It dies when I die. But it's not as strong and it's not as demanding. Now, let's think about that with some practical application to wrap this up. Put to death, mortify. What's that mean? Let's start with the positive first. If I'm going to put to death the misdeeds of the body, the first thing I have to do is build up and give into and relent to and surrender to the Holy Spirit who lives within me. And there are five things I have to do if that's going to happen in my life. Number one, I've got to be reading the Word of God on a regular basis. I cannot grow as a Christian. I will not give in to the Spirit's control in my life if I am not in the Word of God on a regular basis. It just will not happen. Secondly, worship. Prayer and corporate and private worship. You've got to be involved in that. Connection is the third one. Connection. Service. Sometimes you're going to have to get on the stage and you're going to have to, like Susan Boyle did, open your mouth and let the great gift come out of you. And you're going to have to use the great gift of the Spirit and the gifts that He gives you to exercise them and share the message of Christ. Now let's think about how we put to death the flesh, the misdeeds of the body. Each of us have weaknesses. I got mine for sure. And you have yours. And because of those weaknesses, I've got to make some practical decisions. If I have a critical spirit, it'd be foolish for me, wouldn't it, to hang out with other people who have a critical spirit. That would simply strengthen that muscle of critical spirit. I don't want it to strengthen. I want to put it to death. I want it to atrophy. It's not ever going to die, but I want to make it weak. So if I'm hanging out with those who just feed that, I'm growing the muscle. So I got to make some decisions. If you have an issue with gossip, then don't surround yourself by people who love the juicy morsels. If worry consumes you, then you need to get to Scripture and you need to get some 3x5 cards and you need to write out all the verses that remind us not to worry, the confidence we have in Christ. You need to remind yourself your position, that you are not guilty, that you are free, and God's in control and everything in your life is going to work out for good because you love Him. You've been called according to His purpose. If I've got an issue with greed, materialism, then I need to put that to death. I need to put a moratorium on buying stuff. Probably don't need to hang out at the mall a lot. I need to atrophy that one. The antidote for greed is giving. If I have an issue with pornography, then I need to take the proper steps as I travel and I'm at school or at work, at home, because if I feed the monster will grow. I heard the story about a farmer who had a section of land to clear, some trees to cut out. And he had been using this old saw. He had had it for years and years and years. And so he had asked a friend to help him. And the guy said, "Hey, haven't you heard they make a new saw now? Got this like engine thing on one side. And then on the other side, it has this thing that goes out and this little chain and it has these teeth on it called a chainsaw." And so the farmer went and he bought this chainsaw. He used it for about a week and he came back and he told the guy at Tractor Supply, he said, "Man, this is worse than my old saw. I worked a week trying to cut down one tree and it didn't work." And so the Tractor Supply guy took it and pulled the rope and started. And the guy said, "Wait, what's that?" The 9 o'clock service was better than you guys. My daughter asked me after the first service, did you make that up? I said, why? She said, because it was ridiculous. So I'm going to try to make a point out of it, all right? Sometimes we, as Christians, live like an unstarted chainsaw. The engine is right there. All we have to do is access it. All we have to do is say, Holy Spirit, please control me in this situation. I can't handle it. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And the power of that Spirit allows us to do everything God has called us to do. We're going to sin because we are human and the sinful nature will rear its ugly head. But we don't have to. Think about that. As a Christian, we don't have to sin. And it's time, guys, we stepped out on the stage and we let the gift of the Holy Spirit flow through us so the audience of the world can see there's something different with that person. And then we can tell them, hey, it's not us. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. But first, a reminder. Easter, the holiest day in the Christian calendar, is less than 60 days away. To help prepare your heart for this celebration, Ron Moore has composed a challenging devotional titled Relent. As you meditate on the thought-provoking reflections there, you'll draw closer to Christ and sense His Spirit stirring your soul. In Relent, you'll discover the power of surrender in the life of Jesus and in yours. Relent can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Jesus died for our sin, and because of His ultimate surrender, because of His reverent submission, He was heard. How was He heard? God raised Him back from the dead. The Apostle Peter, who saw it all from the Garden of Gethsemane to the trials, to the cross, to the empty tomb, says it like this in Acts chapter 2. He says, this man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put Him to death by nailing Him on a cross. But God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. We celebrate Easter because God raised His Son from the agony of death. Impossible for death to keep His hold on Christ. Look at verse 8. Although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered. Now check this out. Although He was the Son of God, He had no exemptions, no special privileges, no special treatment. He went to the cross and He died on our behalf. With great suffering, Jesus relented. And there on the cross, He learned, in verse 8, He learned obedience from what He had suffered. Now, remember, He is fully God. He is omniscient. He knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know. But on the cross, He learned obedience in this. He experienced the wrath of God. He experienced for us the physical pain of death. He learned obedience. He experienced obedience for us by what He suffered. Now, why would Jesus do that? Why would He bear our sins in His body? Look at verse 9. And once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. Once made perfect. Wasn't Jesus perfect already? He was. Here the writer is saying that when Jesus went to the cross, He was made perfect as our Savior. You see, before this, Jesus told us He was going to the cross. He gave us great teaching, but it was not until after the cross that Jesus became our complete Savior. And because of that, He became the source of eternal salvation.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And to help prepare your heart for Resurrection Sunday, we're offering a copy of Ron Moore's Easter devotional titled Relent. Relent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.